Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5:30. Coming up in this bulletin, justice for the victims of Bloody Sunday remains elusive, the President of Ireland said today during the second day of her visit to Northern Ireland. Calls to have the current Donegal Dublin flight service schedule remain in situ have been heard in the Dáil Chamber. A judge at Derry Magistrates Court says he's disappointed only one police officer was assigned to a case involving a priest facing child sex offences, and a petition calling for St Eunan's College to get funding under the National Development Plan is gathering momentum with students took to the streets today. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher will have all the latest in sport, and after the obituary notices, Chris Ashmore's up with all the latest farming news and views. Starting with the first story, justice for the victims of Bloody Sunday remains vital, the President of Ireland has said today during the second day of her visit to Northern Ireland. Speaking at the Guild Hall in Derry, she acknowledged the ongoing work of reconciliation and praised the city's people for their spirit in building peace. President Connolly added that the peace process has many strands, and recognising all of them is an important part of her visit.
It is important, of course, to acknowledge that there are many strands to the peace process, from the formal agreement to the physical infrastructure in the Peace Bridge, which opened in 2011, and to the ongoing projects on the ground. And I will have the privilege later of visiting some of those projects, and the first one will be the Siege Museum, which I've never been in, and I'm looking forward to being in it today. The Culture Lake, the Museum of Free Derry, the Nerve Centre, and the Youth Action Northern Ireland. And I'm conscious as well that I'm here at the 54th anniversary of Bloody Sunday. It was commemorated just a few days ago on the 30th of January. And later on, I will be in the Museum of Free Derry and meeting with the families. And I think it's very important to acknowledge that.
Calls to have the current Donegal-Dublin flight service schedule remain in situ have been made in the Dáil Chamber. Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty appealed to the Taoiseach to ensure the public service obligation prioritises those who need the flights most, namely those who use the flights for same-day travel for medical appointments. A new draft contract is due to be signed at the end of this month, excludes the midday service. The petition created by the Donegal Cancer Flights and Services has already surpassed 9,500 signatures, and that's just in 2 days. Deputy Doherty is asking for the contract to be reconsidered.
The new contract about to be signed by your government for PSO flights from Donegal to Dublin will mean a loss of the afternoon flights. This is a public service obligation. It's supposed to serve the public, but it's not. We know that the people of Donegal are rightly outraged at the new proposed contract. Flights from Donegal to Dublin at 8:30 in the evening and coming back from Dublin at 6:30 in the morning is ludicrous. Nobody is demanding that. It will not work. You will have ghost flights. This is a €17 million contract. The midday service has worked for decades. It is why nearly 10,000 people have signed a petition in 48 hours. This has been led by a charity who provides support for over 500 people who depend on this flight to get their treatment in Dublin because we live a 9-hour return journey. There's many patients, I've spoken to them myself, if it wasn't for this flight, they would not be able to avail of their cancer treatment. They can't even book flights now after the 26th of this month because there's no contract in place. It is not a luxury. This route is a lifeline. This is a government contract. It's a public service obligation. It has to serve the public, not the airline. I'm asking you to commit that you will not enter into this contract until the midday service is secure.
Simon Harris says he has engaged with the Transport Minister on the issue.
I'm acutely aware of the deep concern felt by people who live in Donegal, and particularly, as you rightly highlight, patients and the families of patients who depend on this air service to access specialist medical care, including cancer treatment. And you've given us a sense of the depth of feeling with so many people having signed that petition in such a short period of time. I'm clear that the route isn't about convenience. It's about trying to manage your illness with dignity and reducing the physical and emotional strain of the long journeys. I've briefly engaged with the Minister for Transport on this issue. I know it's currently operated, as you say, by a PSO contract funded by the Exchequer, which provides two daily return services. And I know the Minister is continuing to monitor the operation and performance of the service in line with the terms of the existing PSO contract. But in fully raising this, I'll ask Minister Dara O'Brien to come back to you directly.
Meanwhile, yesterday, Donegal Senator Manus Boyle called on Transport Minister Dara O'Brien to address what he believes is a change which is designed to suit the airline rather than the people.
What's there is working at the moment and everybody's happy with it. There's no need for change. It's really going to knock these people that has an appointment in Dublin in the morning. They're not going to be fit to get it. They're going to have to come down the day before. So it's not practical what's going on here. So I would hope the Minister, if he would even come in here and have a debate on it, to see what's going wrong. We have no trains in Donegal, as you know, and this is a lifeline for everybody, especially cancer patients. Something we really need to tie down and get the government to sort out.
A judge at Derry Magistrates Court has said he's disappointed that only one police officer was assigned to a case involving a priest facing child sex offences. Edward Gallagher, aged 58, of Orchard Park in Lifford, has been charged in connection with the matter. With more, here's Donal Kavanagh.
Gallagher was charged with one count of attempted sexual communication with a child on dates between April 2nd and April 17th, 2025, and seven further offences, including inciting a child to engage in sexual activity and causing a child to watch sexual activity on April 17th last year. There are also charges of possessing indecent images of children. Defence Solicitor Derwin Harvey said that no time frame has been identified for the case and that full file is not ready. Deputy District Judge Trevor Brown gave 2 weeks to submit a completed file to the court and said he's disappointed that only one officer was allocated to a case of this size. The prosecution described the charges as a huge crime with 670 pages of communications in police possession. Gallagher was remanded in custody to appear again on February 19th.
A petition calling for St Eunan's College to get funding under the National Development Plan is gathering momentum. Students took to the streets of Letterkenny today, collecting signatures from the local community, while the online petition it launched just last weekend has already reached over 3,000 verified signatures. Deputy Charles Ward has raised the issue in the Dáil, expressing disappointment that only one school in Donegal was included in the latest round of planned works. He spoke directly with Taoiseach Micheál Martin, urging the government to push ahead with the long-awaited extension and refurbishment of St Eunan's College.
Taoiseach, I want to address the decision announced last week to exclude St Eunan's College, Letterkenny, from the latest school capital funding allocation. I need to be clear about this. This is an issue of a school that is doing what they could do, getting everything ready, engaging with the department. Planning permission has been in place since 2022 and an agreed pathway for progression has been made. I recently visited the college there last week and it's overcrowded and temporary buildings are now becoming permanent. The children in the community have the right to dignity and safety at home and at school. They've been failed twice now, and going from unsafe homes to unsafe learning environments is not ideal. Only one Donegal project was approved for funding, which is welcome, but other counties received multiples. I'm asking you to look at this decision, revisit it, a matter of urgency, so that we can work with St Eunan's, and will the government commit to immediately engage with St Eunan's College to fix this injustice, because they need all the help
Thank
they can
you.
Get.
Taoiseach.
Well, first of all, again, we'll talk to the Minister for Education in respect to the college that you've raised, but there's a broader issue. We've dramatically increased spending for second level schools and primary schools in terms of the investment, and the National Development Plan represents a further expansion and increase in projects. But we will continue to keep all of this under review, and we will do everything we can to progress as many schools as we possibly can that need extensions or indeed complete new builds in some cases.
The Justice Minister says counselling notes will only be used in criminal trials where they would provide essential evidence. Jim O'Callaghan says the Attorney General has advised the government a complete ban on their use would be unconstitutional, despite objections from campaign groups representing sexual assault survivors. Ministers have approved plans to change the law so there's a presumption of non-disclosure in respect of counselling notes. Minister O'Callaghan says not allowing the use of counselling notes is both unconstitutional and against the European Convention on Human Rights.
And nowhere in our legal system do we say that there is a category of evidence that simply cannot be inspected or disclosed. And I want to go as far as I can to provide greater protection for the right to privacy. I'm doing that. But the effect of it will be that counselling notes will only ever be revealed if there is material evidence in it that the court believes is in the interest of justice to disclose.
Almost half of all cars tested in Donegal last month failed their NCT. In January, 6,165 vehicles went through the test, and over 43% failed on major defects, and more than 6% failed with dangerous faults. The number of tests is also up from last year, when just over 5,200 cars were checked. The chair of Board Bias says he understands the frustration expressed by farmers, but does not support the action of those who occupied the company's headquarters. Larry Murren appeared at the Oireachtas Agriculture meeting today following a protest outside the Dáil earlier by farmers calling for his resignation. Farming groups say Mr. Murren's position at Bord Bia is untenable due to the importation of a small amount of Brazilian beef by his company, Don Farm Foods. Larry Murren explained his role at Bord Bia to the committee.
As a chair, I do not manage day-to-day operations, run quality assurance programs, or manage the organisation. I applied for this role because I bring the perspective of international markets and global customers, experience that matters for an export-led organisation such as Bord Bia.
Donegal is among the counties affected as Labour calls on Eurogiant to update staff on the company's future. The retail chain announced the appointment of liquidators yesterday. While stores are still trading for now, there's concerns for 460 jobs across 20 counties, including three branches in Donegal. Labour's enterprise spokesperson George Lawler says support services should be ready to step in if needed.
We're very much in a wait-and-see process at the minute. But it looks pretty bleak, so the state should be ready with all the resources available to assist the 640 workers, give them access to all the services that they are entitled to at this time.
It's 42 minutes past five. We're going to go to an ad break, and Mark Gallagher will be back with all the latest in sport. It's 5:45 here on Highland Radio. Mark Gallagher's at the sports desk.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. We'll start with rugby. Ireland captain Ciarán Dora says the squad are ready to embrace the hostile atmosphere awaiting them in Paris tonight. Andy Farrell's side kick off their Six Nations campaign against defending champions and tournament favourites France. It's Ireland's first return to the French capital since their agonising World Cup quarterfinal defeat to New Zealand in 2023. And Doris says the team are up for the challenge.
It's pretty much the pinnacle of the game, really. We've had some fond memories here in the past through the World Cup and some not so good ones as well. But what's been consistent throughout has been an unbelievable atmosphere. So, yeah, we want to enjoy that. So, yeah, it's going to be a special spectacle and we're hoping to put our best foot forward.
Kick-off at the Stade de France is at 10 past 8. Elsewhere, Lewis Rees-Zammit switches to fullback for his Wales Six Nations return against England on Saturday. The Bristol wing hasn't played in the tournament for 3 years after leaving rugby for an 18-month spell in American football. Blair Kinghorn has been dropped for Scotland's trip to Italy on Saturday. Tom Jordan replaces the British and Irish Lions fullback for their opener in Rome. And Darcy Graham and leading try scorer Duan van der Merwe also miss out, with Glasgow's Jamie Dobie preferred on the wing opposite Kyle Stein. Moving on to soccer, Derry City could play up to 5 Premier Division fixtures at Celtic Park. At last night's fans forum, club chairman Philip O'Doherty added the June 26th fixture to the list of matches already slated to be played there. From April to June, games against Shamrock Rovers, Galway United, St Patrick's Athletic, Shelburne and Bohemians look set to be played at the home of Derry GAA. The club is replacing the artificial 4G pitch with a new hybrid grass surface. Cross-channel Championship club Leicester have been deducted 6 points. The English Football League have confirmed the sanction for a breach of Premier League financial spending rules in the 2023-2024 season. It drops Leicester, who are currently without a manager, to just outside the relegation zone on goal difference. Chelsea boss Liam Rossignol has accused Arsenal of showing a lack of respect during the warm-up ahead of their EFL Cup semi-final second leg. He was captured on camera reacting angrily to opposition players coming into the Chelsea half before Tuesday's defeat. Rossignol says it was unprofessional.
I think there's certain etiquettes in football. I always try and be as respectful as possible. I always want to win. I've never asked my coaches, and I don't have an issue with anyone at Arsenal Football Club. It was just in that moment, I didn't think that respect was shown to my team.
Manchester United head coach Michael Carrick says they're focusing on making small steps to help the club get into a better position for next season. The next permanent boss is yet to be named, and the future of several players is uncertain heading into the summer. But Carrick has led United to 3 consecutive wins since stepping in.
The players have been spot on and fully focused. We all aware of the bigger situation and what ifs and what might happen. But I think as a player anyway, you're focused on what's ahead of you and trying to achieve what you can at this moment in time and for the rest of the season.
Celtic and Aberdeen's postponed Scottish Premiership match has been rearranged for Wednesday the 4th of March. Last night's game at Pittodrie was called off due to a waterlogged pitch. Celtic missed the chance to narrow the gap on leaders Hearts, with Rangers going above them to second after they hammered Kilmarnock 5-1. In Schools GA, it is a big day for St Dunan's College, who are in Belfast this evening for the Ulster Schools McLaren Cup final. St Dunan's last won the competition in 2014, and on that occasion the side included Donegal goalkeeper Sean Patton and brothers Connor and Niall O'Donnell. Current county star Shane O'Donnell kicked 9 points in the 2018 decider, but was on the wrong end of the result. Throw-in for this evening's final is at 6 o'clock. Tonight's Sigerson Cup semi-final between UL and Queens has been postponed. That last four clash had been slated for DCU St Clair's, but is off due to the orange weather warning for Dublin. As it stands, UCC's game against University of Galway is still going ahead at the Mardek, with throw-in at 8 o'clock. Moving on to darts, Luke Littler has brushed off being labelled the greatest darts player ever by rival Luke Humphreys. Humphreys made the remark after Littler edged him in Sunday's World Masters final. The teenager kicks off his Premier League darts campaign tonight and says that for him, 16-time world champion Phil Taylor remains the true greatest of all time.
Phil Taylor will always be the greatest, unless someone like myself goes on and win 16 world titles, 16 world match plays. But for the minute, I'm just Luke Littler, and I'm looking forward to the Premier League, where hopefully I can get the trophy back.
Littler faces Gian Van Veen on night one tonight, and it's Luke Humphreys up against Gerwin Price. Michael Van Gerwen goes up against Stephen Bunting, and Johnny Clayton will take on Armagh's Josh Rock. In golf, Italian Gregory De Leo has joined Patrick Reed and Daniel Hillier on 7 under par at the top of the leaderboard on day one of the Qatar Masters. Patrick Harrington, who is playing in his 500th DP World Tour event, carded a first round 71 for 1 under par in Doha. Finally, on the score this week, we have a League of Ireland special lined up. Derry City start their Premier Division campaign tomorrow night against Sligo Rovers, while Finn Harps kick off their new First Division campaign next week away to Athlone Town. On this evening's preview show, Oisin Kelly will be joined by former Harps captains Declan Boyle, Joe Boyle and Keith Cowan. That's all on the League of Ireland special on the Score programme this evening, just after the 7 o'clock news. Back to you, Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. Having a look now to the weather forecast. Tonight will be cloudy and breezy, with rain becoming more scattered, with lowest temperatures of 2 to 7 degrees. To conclude this evening's bulletin, a look back at the main stories. Justice for the victims of Bloody Sunday remains a priority, the President of Ireland said today during the second day of her visit to Northern Ireland. Speaking at the Guildhall in Derry, she acknowledged the ongoing work of reconciliation and praised the city's people for their spirit in building peace. Calls to have the current Donegal-Dublin flight service schedule remain in situ have been made in the Dáil Chamber. Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty appealed to the Taoiseach to ensure the public service obligation prioritises those who need the flights most, namely those who use the flights for same-day travel for medical appointments. A judge at Derry Magistrates Court has said he's disappointed only one police officer was assigned to a case involving a priest facing child sex offences. Edward Gallagher, aged 58, of Orchard Park in Lifford, has been charged in connection with the matter. And finally, a petition calling for St Eunan's College to get funding under the National Development Plan is gathering momentum. Students took to the streets of Letterkenny today collecting signatures from the local community, while the online petition it launched just last week has already reached over 3,000 verified signatures. That's all for now from the newsroom. We'll be back with news in full at 7 o'clock. And Chris Ashmore has the latest farming news and views after the obituary notices.
The obituary notices this Thursday evening, February the 5th. The death has taken place of Seamus Dugan, Neil of Ballinness, Falkara. His remains are reposing at his late residence today and again tomorrow from 10 a.m. Rosary both nights at 9:30 p.m. Funeral Mass in St Finian's Church, Falkara on Saturday at 12 noon with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on mcn.tv. The death has occurred of Brian Richardson, Ballyargus, Redcastle, and formerly of Newcastle, United Kingdom. Brian's remains will leave Kelly's Funeral Home, Station Road, Carndonagh at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, going to his late residence. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 9:20, going to St Columba's Church, Drung, for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by cremation at Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan, at 3 p.m. Requiem Mass can be viewed at mcn.live. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Cancer Research Ireland, care of any family member, or Blaine McCarran, Kelly's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Joe McDade, 33 Beechwood Road, Letterkenny, reposing at his home. House private to neighbours and close relatives. Removal from his home tomorrow, going to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Gortlea, Letterkenny, to arrive at 6 p.m. to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Saturday at 11 a.m. Burial afterwards in St Columba's Cemetery, Kilmacrenan. Mass can be viewed on the Church of the Irish Martyrs YouTube channel. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. This evening I'll be focusing on a tree planting initiative that may be of interest to many, including but not exclusively farmers. But first, the annual Donegal Silage Awards took place last night in the Clannery Hotel in Letterkenny. The overall winner was Wesley Hastings. The new entry category was won by Lawrence Devlin. The round bale category was won by Conall O'Leary. Wesley Hastings also took the honours in the dairy category, while the sheep category saw Jack Stevenson being first, and the beef category was won by J and D Weir. Well, back in 2022, the 100 Million Trees project was launched by two brothers, Richard and David Mulcahy, with the aim being to plant 100 million trees over 10 years in Ireland in a bid to combat climate change and to restore biodiversity and reduce carbon levels. Well, coming up, we'll hear from Tom Hannigan, the first person in Donegal to become involved in the project. But first, let's hear from Tina Mulcahy, who has joined her brothers in promoting this exciting initiative.
Thank you, Chris, for having us on. So, yes, Richard and David set up this project late 2022. They had been planting trees more or less all their life. Richard has a farm on the Wicklow-Wexford border, and he's already planted over 200,000 trees himself. And they decided to set up this project, and they decided to use the Miyawaki method, which is a method named after a Japanese botanist, Akira Miyawaki. And he developed a technique of planting trees very, very densely together, native trees, as a means to restore degraded land originally. So the method consists of planting different native species. We're planting 13 different native species at the moment, using three different sublayers of planting and planting very densely. So on a quarter of an acre, which is the authorised size in Ireland, you know, you can plant a quarter of an acre of woodland without asking for authorisation, we are able to plant 2,500 saplings. And these saplings will grow 10 or 12 times quicker than a sapling put in the ground on its own, because it will be competing for the light with the other trees. So very, very quickly you have a lovely little dense forest. You don't have any maintenance with the Miyawaki forest, so the trees that are going to grow will grow up very quickly, and they support each other under the ground, so the strong trees will support the weak. And after about 2.5-3 years, you won't be able to walk into the forest because it will be so dense. And the trees do self-maintain, really. There's nothing we ask our landowners maybe to walk down the grasses for the first 2 years, a couple of times a year, and that's it.
So what type of sites are ideal for this?
Most of our sites are on private landowners who they might have a quarter of an acre in a field that they know that they're not going to use. But so we're reaching out to a lot of farmers, but we also have a lot of sports clubs like football, rugby, golf, GAA clubs who've planted. A quarter of an acre is just over 1,000 square metres, so it's not very big. And then we've also planted in places like Oras an Uachtaráin. We've done a few sites with the OPW, and you can really plant anywhere. Of course, we would encourage large companies, for example, who'd have sites, you know, unused land at the side or at the back of the site. We've done a couple of sites for the IDA and other companies.
And how many trees have been planted to date?
We have planted just under 850,000 trees since November 2022. Our planting season runs from December to April. The information is all online about how to proceed. There's a list of short criteria which we ask people to fill. It's really not complicated. We're donating the trees. We're planting the trees as well with the professional planters. We just ask the landowners to have the land prepared.
As I mentioned, Tom Mulcahy is the first person in Donegal to be involved in the 100 Million Trees project, and he has planted trees on a small site in Ballyargus in Redcastle. I've been finding out about his experience to date.
Oh, Chris, I came across it just on the internet, I think. I was reading about that and I'm reading about the Pocket Forests project as well, which is about planting small numbers of trees, you know. But I was attracted to this idea because they just require a quarter of an acre and they give you 2,000 trees to plant, which, you know, means that they're planted quite close together. But the idea behind that is the fact that they grow quickly because they are together, and as they're growing quickly, they start to extract carbon out of the atmosphere.
And one of the big appeals of this is the project. They have a number of major sponsors and supporters, so the cost is being covered. They're involved with a planting company as well. So essentially, they do a lot of it. You're really providing the land.
Exactly. I mean, they sent a lorry with 2,000 trees. I think it's 2,500. And they're about a foot long, and they come in bags. But they also send a planter. They send a man who is an experienced horticulturist to help in the planting. Now, I also had some friends from the Wild Inishowen group. That's a group of people mainly based in Buncrana who plant a lot of trees and look after areas over around Buncrana. So four of them came and helped me to plant them as well.
Now, the actual trees that are planted, I think, is it 12 or 13 different types of species?
Well, I think I have 10 native species, you know. And, there's the two main ones will be oak and Scotch pine. But there's alder in there and willow and different things to help with water, you know, because this piece of ground I have is quite wet. And so the roots of the trees will help to dry up any ground that is wet, you know.
Now, they have a map on their website. It shows where all the trees have been planted. You're the only dot on the map so far in Donegal, but no doubt you think this has great potential.
I do. I mean, I think most farms and people other than farmers, it's open to everybody, really, because I'm not really a farmer. It's open to anybody that has an acre or a quarter of acre to spare. But I think most farms would have a quarter of an acre that they could give over to planting some trees, you know, because it's good. It's a wildlife project as well, because in the middle of it, there's dog rows and things that are very good for birds. So, you know, it's a whole eco thing as well, that as the trees are growing, you're going to get more wildlife. You'll get butterflies and bees and birds and all of that.
And to date, have you seen them? Are they growing pretty quickly?
Yes, they are. The new growth is beginning to come on them now. I was down there the other day and the new growth is beginning to come on them. You can see the buds out, especially the alder. There's a big blue bud comes on the alder bushes, you know.
And ultimately, Tom, if a lot of people like yourselves do it, it's only a small area of land, but this, if everybody's doing it and they go on to plant the 100 million trees, it will have an effect on combating climate change.
That's the whole idea, Chris, you know, that it's our wee bit, if you like, to help take some carbon out of the atmosphere and slow down the climate change if we can't.
By the way, the website for those details, go to 100milliontreesproject.ie. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, thanks for tuning in. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybofey and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.